to see him developing a connection with her. Because I know her, I'm like befumbled. I mean, I don't know another word.
Kiss my butt! Roll Tide!
It's episode 3 of You Play to Win the Rose, the Bachelor podcast with yours truly, Ben Heisler, and my buddy Andrew Carter. And you are fired up today. Like, you've been sitting on this episode for almost 24 hours, and you're ready to go. So let's have at it.
Yeah, I'm very excited. There's a lot of things that I want to talk about, a lot of interesting points in the last episode. And really, we've hit that point in the show where there are certain plot lines that are kind of overshadowing the competition of love itself. Obviously, with the two pageant girls, that's almost becoming the show within the show. So I can't wait to dive into it with you a little bit, because a lot happened on that front. I felt like basically that was the whole episode.
That's fair. It kind of feels like you're right. There's a little bit of Bachelor Inception going on. And so we'll dive into it in this episode. We'll, of course, recap the things that stood out to us. We'll give our favorite episode MVPs and bench warmers. We do something called a film session here on the podcast, where we take a minute and dive into something that maybe you didn't notice over the course of the show. Both Andrew and I have something that involves one particular contestant, one that we're actually hoping to have on the show maybe a little bit later on down the road. And of course, we'll wrap it up with our prop bets for next week and recap any that may have hit during last Monday's episode. So let's start by getting things caught up that you had everything set up. And one thing that's always constant, Andrew, is the idea that there's going to be something set up. Sydney talks about the beginning of drama over the course of the week, that you have the two pageant contestants feuding from the week before. Inevitably, we start to see it from the very beginning that there's going to be drama set up right from the start. And it's nice because you kind of know going in where it's going to come from.
I don't think I've seen a house in The Bachelor that's been so divided before as far as friendships go, because of the feud between the two pageant girls. It's like, if you're friends with one, you can't be friends with the other. And then I think there's a few girls that just decide, I'm not having any part of it, so we are going to make our own friend group. And I never think there's been a time where there's so many different cells of friends within the house. And something that I always look at when the show starts, when they're doing like date cards, is how they all look, how much makeup they have on. And I really think the house morale is as low as it's ever been. Never seen so many girls just give up on putting their makeup on in the morning and just look completely different than you see them look on dates. Like, this, I don't know if this is the most exciting season ever.
I don't think so.
It's not. But the fractured house to me is just fascinating. It is intense, and it's only going to get worse the longer the pageant girls stay.
Yeah, I think so too, because you're totally seeing their complete sides of their different friendships. And you're right, there's plenty of girls that are just perfectly fine staying out of the drama and staying out of the spotlight completely. We'll get to this a little bit later on, that the girls that got eliminated, we thought we had pretty high expectations for. They were interesting women, but they found themselves with no opportunity to get on screen. But let's talk about the Pirate Adventure group dates, where Hannah B., bless her heart, little Alabama girl, does she realize that an eye patch has to go over your eye and not on top of it? That was frustrating to me. She felt like a mascot.
And she thought she could hide behind the eye patch at one point. Which, the whole point of an eye patch is that you can still see with your other eye. You're not putting on a full mask, Hannah. So you can't hide behind one little eye patch. She did. She looked like a mascot. And I have this feeling that no matter what she does at this point, people just aren't going to like it. She's just set herself up to be such a character. You don't look at her at the realm of a human anymore as much as you do the other girls. It's just like, no matter what she says, you're already anticipating you're not going to like it.
Do you feel like she has gotten to the point where the producers have gotten to her yet?
Yeah, she was an easy target. I think they knew all along. I really do. I mean, unfortunately, like, there's a part of the show where producers do have to take advantage of certain people's personalities. And she is so sensitive, so insecure. And it's just gotten to the point, again, I don't think you and I ever on the show want to trash any contestant. Like, we're not out here to gossip.
No.
We just kind of call it as we see it. And I hate to see her struggle so much. But the fact of the matter is she is. And they're totally taking advantage of that. And from little things from when Kaylin and Colton walked by while she's talking to Heather on the couch. Like, it was pretty easy. This producer's like, hey, can you guys just, like, get together real quick and go walk by Hannah? Because that was going to be a trigger. There's all these different things, like putting them on the group date together. You name it. They're taking advantage of her.
So the dynamic between Kaylin and Hannah B, and it's interesting because this feud is sort of putting Demi back on the back burner. And I don't think she enjoys that. I think she enjoys the character in which she is created. But I think right now you're starting to see in this feud between the two pageant contestants that Hannah B right now is not getting any love from the producers. She's not getting any love from the viewers. Right now, Kaylin is sort of the victim in all of this. And if what you hear is that both of them are manipulative, I wonder if we're going to start to see a shift eventually where right now we feel bad for Kaylin and we're mad at Hannah B. Do you think those roles might switch at some point as the show continues on? Are we going to start to see more of this side from Kaylin? Or do you think, no, I think we're starting to see Hannah B's true colors here.
That's tough because they could be setting that up and that would be a really good play. But I do think we're seeing Hannah B's true colors. My feeling of it is really because every time Hannah B has an opportunity to explain, she never actually explains.
I'm really glad you brought that up.
She only just says that she feels bad, that Kaylin hurt her feelings, that she's been, but she can't point to specific things and rarely can go any further than I hate her, which brings up the point that, look, Kaylin beat her at Ms. USA. Mm-hmm. She does not like the person that beat her. They used to be friends. Kaylin says at competition, she's really serious, and we could dive into it. She probably didn't talk to Hannah as much when Hannah was struggling, and Hannah took that personally. I just think when it gets hot and it gets difficult, it's not Hannah B's time to shine, and Kaylin can overcome that. And ultimately, Kaylin is just a better talker. She knows how to talk through her feelings, and I think that's why you're seeing more girls surround her than you are seeing one person in the house be Hannah B's friend.
And also, this is the definition of the next competition. Colton is the next Miss USA, in a sense, and she doesn't want to lose again to Kaylin. It's that simple, I think.
And she's really showing maybe what happens when she gets in these competitions, whether it's USA or The Bachelor. She's not very good at it, and she's freaking out, and in the same situation, she's getting mad at Kaylin. It's basically, I love that you brought that up. If you use it as a metaphor, I mean, I think we can kind of guess what happened when they were rooming together at Ms. USA. I think she just folded and was freaking out and didn't like that Kaylin didn't. Now, maybe there are some things that were done that we have no idea about. But how many times now have we had the opportunity through Colton asking to hear any specific story, and we just don't. It's lip service.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out over the next few episodes, or not, whether or not the shift and the potential blame and focus will come on Kaylin as opposed to Hannah B, because it feels a little bit one-sided for now, but Hannah B certainly hasn't done herself any favors. As far as the group date rose, Nicole, I believe, got it, but nothing really stood out after that.
No, Nicole seems really into Colton, so I think for her that was a huge deal. I think she's someone that will do decent. It's hard. I don't know. I just have so many predictions about where the show is headed. It seems pretty obvious, to be honest. So it's hard to get excited when certain people get roses because you just don't feel like they have a long-term shot. But Nicole really seems like she's there for, quote, all the right reasons. So that was a really big deal. The one thing that stood out to me, and I hate to talk about Hannah B again, but it actually relates to the group date, is when she was beating everyone in the pirate fighting competition, everyone was kind of like cringy. Like, ugh, this is a little much. Like, she's really trying to overcompensate for everything that's happened on the show at this point by just hitting us way too hard and no one's taking this seriously but her. And it kind of was that, I don't know what you call it, but you realize no matter what she does, people are just going to be annoyed by it. She's at the point where she can't, even when she's winning, it's not winning. It looks weird. So I just don't know how long she can stay on the show.
That's fair. To the one-on-one date, my MVP from last week completely, delivered. Shout out to Elise, who, by the way, we reached out to try and get on the show. And I think as long as she is still remaining on the show, she probably can't join us. So we'll see if later on the road, she might be able to stop on by on You Play to Win the Rose. But she had a great one-on-one. Was set up perfectly, not only just to show out the fun side of her, but she handled the kids well, and felt very open to be able to, you know, relate a really tragic story to Colton on that first one-on-one, to the point where they really connected right away. And she might be sticking around, I think, a little bit longer than maybe a lot of us had anticipated.
She's strong. I really like her. I think she's real. She seems to be really comfortable in who she is, and was really good at kind of allowing Colton to do his thing on that date, and they had a lot of fun together. A lot of times when you bring outside factors, you wonder, it's like, well, are they actually going to have their own time? But I thought they really handled that situation well. And it was really cool to see the kids. And even at the very end of the show, when all the kids were like tapping each kid out, that was like, obviously that was staged, but that was a really cool bit. It was funny. Overall though, yeah, she made a really strong showing. I think she'll be there for a while. Didn't seem like she was super into roller coasters or adventure, because she looked pretty nervous outside of the park. And then obviously on the roller coaster, Colton really had to coach her through that experience. Yeah. And I think there was a point they were on a Ferris wheel and she's like, I do not like this at all. So I don't think heights and adventure are her big thing, but look, she overcompensated. And like you said, she opened up at the dinner. I know you have a few thoughts about that.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily thoughts on her story or whether or not, Colton bought into it, but, I think you're right. I think the element of true reality here is what's really important. You know, last week we talked about the fact that, you know, she sort of nailed her story out of the park, and sort of played the older woman card, and Colton was really into that. And I think what you saw out of her was somebody, I think Colton needs somebody who's kind of confident in themselves. I think he likes sort of being the muscular guy that can sort of make you feel better, but he wants somebody to sort of push him along. I think he even talked about that later on towards the other group date, towards the strongest woman date. Like, he needs somebody to sort of be that rock too. I don't think he has to worry about that with Elise. I don't know whether or not that'll ultimately last the entirety of the show. I don't think you and I believe she's going to win, even though she certainly is capable of it. But does that make sense? That
yeah.
I think that confidence, that sort of the self-confidence that she has in herself, like, she's just grown as a person compared to a lot of women on the show. I think he's intrigued by that.
Absolutely. And it was a classic bachelorette date.
Yes.
It was the most classic, and it was fine, but let's go somewhere. Let's bring Charity into it. We'll have a dinner. We'll talk about a very serious family situation. And then we'll just go to a concert and we'll dance in front of random people that
There's
we don't know.
One final surprise.
Probably an artist we've never heard before. and we're going to act like we're having a lot of fun. And it probably is fun, but I assume dancing and kissing for, you'd think it's at least 4 minutes because that's how long a song is. But
right.
I hear in those situations that they actually have to play the song multiple times and get different angles. So they're actually up there kissing and kind of dancing, I guess you could call it, for like close to a half hour.
That's
so
hysterical.
Yeah, I read an article back in the day when one of my favorite country artists was like the one doing the song.
Yeah.
It's like we played that over and over, and I felt bad for the bachelorette contestant.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, there's always that level of awkwardness that, you know, the producers do a good job of getting rid of. But it's always the interviews afterwards are always hysterical, too, because you know that they haven't heard of them. It's like, oh, we got this great concert from Tracy Marty. And oh gosh, she's fantastic.
She played her best song,
yeah,
the way. And yeah, it's cool though. It's a way the Bachelor gets a money grab. I'm sure the studios, they might even pay to get that exposure for an up and coming artist.
Yeah, no, I think so too. Yeah, whatever they can do to compensate for the cost of having that house and all the other dates that go along with it and all the travel for all those women. Certainly kudos to them. But you're right, it felt very classic. The one final surprise, every time, it's either going to be a concert or it's either going to be fireworks. I can't think of anything else that really stands out for that. There's always one thing left, and they're always so surprised by it, too. Like, come on, you know how this thing works. You've watched the show.
I'll give Elise credit though. She genuinely looked surprised. Like, I think she was so happy with how the date went when he said that. She was like, oh gosh, what is this going to be? So that was cool.
That's totally fair. To the group date where you had the strongest woman competition. And listen, I love Fred Willard. I was a fan of his for a long time. He's a comedy icon. You're over the hill when you're the color commentator, when you're in the Jason Bateman dodgeball role, sitting alongside Chris Harrison for the Bachelor Strongest Woman competition. So we got to get Fred out of there. But one thing that I found interesting, and it's a little bit too bad, I think Catherine, since the day one show, when the producers tried to make her the pawn, she kind of became a little bit likable.
I like Catherine. I think what happened was she's like, oh man, I don't have to be the villain. Sweet. Take it away, Demi. I can be myself. And it's interesting. I think the girls really like her too. She seems to have a lot of camaraderie with the other girls in the house. And yes, she was great. She was in her element. I think I was pretty dang impressed when she beat the crap out of that punching bag too.
Oh yeah.
She said like she did Taekwondo.
Black belt in Taekwondo.
I'm sure she told someone, like, oh, yeah, I can work out a little bit. I did Taekwondo. And they're like, can you show us some moves on this punching bag and can we film it? She's like, sure thing. Whoa. That was intense. It was pretty impressive.
She should have led with that. Like, that should have been, like, part of her introduction out of the limo. Like,
that's true.
Taekwondo expert.
That's true.
Right? You know, there could have been a nice little hook there. I know you said that there's a little bit of controversy because one of the contests in the Strongest Woman competition was Caitlyn pulling the limo by herself, which she didn't really look like she was ready for a workout, per se. And there were a couple girls that could barely move it an inch, and I didn't think any of them were going to move it. She did, but you say that there's a little bit of fraud here.
I do. I don't know how much I want to dive into it, though, because it's my film session.
Oh, so, okay. All
but
right.
Well,
we can tease that for later.
No, it's okay. What we'll do is we'll distract people real quick and talk about Colton taking his shirt off for this date. And I'm going to bring that up for a couple of reasons. One, my wife, Lindsay, was freaking out. She normally is, like, pretty good about not caring about this stuff, but there's something about Colton that he's, like, the classic. If the shirt is off, she's legitimately excited and doesn't know how to not express it out loud. So it's pretty interesting to me. But what I noticed is he's pretty uncomfortable with his shirt off. Now, at the pool party, that was fine. It's pretty normal. You know, that's standard.
Right.
But when it comes to, like, showing off his body in front of them in non-traditional areas, I couldn't help but notice that his voice was quivering when he was giving his speech,
that's
he was really
funny.
Nervous. And it was because he's just standing there with his shirt off. And then if you noticed, as soon as they got inside to start working out, he threw on a shirt really fast. So it's funny to me, and I think this goes back to him needing a strong woman. I think Colton's a great dude. I think he's got confidence. I think he's a good balance. But he's not the cocky guy that's going to walk around a party with his shirt off because he knows he can.
That's really interesting. Yeah, especially considering that maybe there was that element of machismo that you expected out of him. As the football player, as sort of like the meathead-looking type guy. I think that makes him a little bit more of a sellable character, to be completely honest with you. Like, it's people tend to gravitate towards those that, you know, they even if they look good, they're still sort of very self-conscious about it. Maybe there was something over the course of his life where, like, he had to really work hard to get himself in better shape, and he still sees himself in this one image versus another.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it was just interesting to me that they're playing of this Colton without the shirt off card a lot, and I'm sure he's going to have to moving forward, and he'll probably get more comfortable to it, but, like, it's not a natural thing for him, where some guys who play football and look like that, give me any chance, and I'm going to do that and show it off. So that was kind of funny. And then, of course, the stretching thing. Was that with Sydney?
Yes.
That was, yeah, the stretching moment was pretty funny, and
yeah.
They sold
that. I
think
that. It was Cassie
that,
that said
really well.
That he's not a stretching virgin anymore.
Yeah, they sold that well.
But holy shit, man, that was. I've never seen a lot of people bend like that. So that was kudos to Sydney. That was certainly impressive. We'll wrap things up. They had the pool party towards the end. That was another opportunity for the Hannah B. Kaylin feud to continue. I'm starting to have serious concerns about Hannah B.'s state of being and who to believe. And ultimately, that led to the rose ceremony, where, unfortunately, you, my friend, lost one of your final four contestants, as earlier in the night, Caitlin went home, followed by Nina, Catherine, who finally turned the corner, and your girl Bree, so two of your final four are now gone.
Not happy about it. Really liked Bree. I think, I don't know what happened. I'm being really curious. I want to talk to her because we did reach out to her and there's a chance we bring her on the show. To have such a great moment out of the limo and then never be heard from again is very interesting to me. And I don't think she could probably dive in and give us all the answers, but part of me just wonders if she got in that environment and maybe it just wasn't for her. And she's like, you know, I don't need to talk in front of producers.
I got a great life back in LA. I'm modeling. I have a ton of Instagram followers. I'm already sort of doing what a lot of people set out to go on this show to do. Like, I had my moment and now I'm perfectly happy going back home.
Yeah, I'm really interested about that because I thought she had a chance and she's drop dead gorgeous. So it's interesting to me that she got zero airtime, but that's okay. I mean, we went off of nothing. How are we supposed to know who was going to be go far in the show and who wasn't? We went off their bios online. So it was really a shot in the dark. And I still feel really good about the two we have remaining.
Especially, too, I was more surprised when Caitlin got eliminated after that one-on-one time.
That was on quick. That was a quick trigger.
It was a quick hook. Yeah, it was basically like if a manager goes and takes out a starting pitcher in the first inning after they give up a couple home runs and they're trying to get themselves settled. And he's like, all right, I'm going to try and save the game before it ends up being a complete and total blowout. I had high expectations for her. I didn't put her in the final four or anything, but, you know, really attractive, sort of right in that Colton age range. Good job. Like, she's like the co-founder of a realty group in Canada. Beautiful. I thought, you know, she was really funny too. And then just something either didn't line up, but again, that's another person that we've reached out to. Hopefully we'll have a opportunity to talk to her. So yeah, Caitlin, Nina, Bree, and Catherine all go home to wrap up episode 3. But now let's get to some of these cornerstones here on the podcast. It is our MVP and our bench warmer for episode number 3. Andrew, go ahead and kick things off.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Okay, so let's start with my MVP of the week, and it's Heather. Because Heather is the only friend of Hannah B, and I think it's because Heather's a good person. I think she saw the house was getting divided. Many, many girls were gravitating towards Kaylin. And she goes, you know, I don't know if I want to be in the middle of this, but no one is there for Hannah B. And I'm probably just too nice to let someone in the house be cornered and be by themselves. So I'm going to go over there and talk to her. And what we've realized is every time there's drama and Hannah B is talking to someone, it is only Heather.
Yep.
Heather is Hannah B's only friend. So you know what? Not only is she the most valuable player because I think she's doing it in a nice way, she is the most valuable player for Hannah because without her, there's no one else for her in the house. I just think it's really funny every time that Hannah B is confiding in someone, it is only Heather. So for that reason, being a true friend to someone else when they need it most, my MVP of the week is Heather.
Interesting call for yours. I think I'm going to go with a couple that are a little bit more obvious. I have a co-MVP for both Sydney and Nicole. We just talked about Sydney a few moments ago. She had a couple moments over the course of the show where she really stood out for the first time. She led off the show talking about the drama, got some FaceTime right away. She then showed off the ability with some killer stretches. Just very impressive flexibility out of Sydney. And then she kicked ass in the strong woman competition too. She was lifting up tires. She was pulling limos. You know, I kind of thought that maybe as an NBA dancer that she'd be a little bit more frail, but that was a strong woman, and she certainly showed some pretty impressive abilities to not just carry the show literally, but figuratively as well. She did a really nice job in getting herself into the mix of things, and I think Colton started to notice her as well. Same thing goes with Nicole. She was able to talk about her story a little bit, her family coming over from Cuba, dropped in a Poppy reference, which I think Colton really got into, like that kind of got him excited. I don't know whether it was just a word association or something with that accent that got him going a little bit. So she ended up getting a rose. So Sydney and Nicole, kudos to you guys. You are my two co-MVPs of episode number 3. Let's go to the other side. The people that unfortunately have to grab some bench disappointed us a little bit. It's time for the bench warmer.
I can't even.
Can't even what?
Even. Like, I just can't even.
Oh, like you literally can't even.
Yeah.
Okay.
My bench warmer for this week is Colton. I am very frustrated with Colton right now. Not because I don't think he's doing a fair job. I don't think he's doing anything overly great, overly poor. I think he's having a good performance so far, three episodes in. But what he needs to grab some bench for, and maybe he's just take some time and think about this a little bit, is what he is doing by focusing so much on Kaylin and Hannah B. He is losing out on opportunities to meet other people. He's ruining times at the pool party to meet other people because he's spending so much time on this feud, so much time and energy. And ultimately, I feel like he's getting way too sensitive about this. Like, dude, hold up. How many times have you seen this in your life? Two girls, for whatever reason, don't like each other. They're feuding. Okay, that's fine. You're not going to be able to fix that. It's just not, you physically cannot fix it. And you're not going to hear a lot of things from either one that's just like, you know what, it's actually me. Just kick me off the show. It's not them. Like, what do you expect them to do? So, ultimately, he is kind of ruining the experience for other girls in the house who really want to have time with him. And also, just pick one that you like more. It's not sustainable to keep them both in the house. It's fracturing the house. Girls are getting frustrated, and girls you like are getting mad at you. If there's one that stands out more, send the other one home. And he's clearly struggling with this. I was pretty amazed at how sensitive he was and had to go sit down with the producer and was getting so mad about this. And it's like, come on, man. You're early. There's a lot of girls left out there. Don't let this feud ruin the show for you and everyone else already. So for that reason, take some time to think about it. Put some ice on the arm, Colton, and grab some bench.
Do you think, though, that if he didn't give the one-on-one to Hannah B, that she'd be out of here by now?
I don't know why she wasn't out of here because of the one-on-one.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because you're right. The toast.
A horrible date.
She
couldn't speak. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it. So, Hannah B, like,
she's my bench warmer of the week for obvious reasons.
Just go for it.
Yeah, listen, at some point when you're getting to from a one-on-one where you can't talk to basically your one big reveal is that you're not a virgin and that makes you sad, to now this clear evidence of you're triggered by another woman in the house and you can't explain it. I think at one point too, when Colton said, you know, Kaylin described you as, you know, toxic and manipulative, and her response was, well, she's toxic and manipulative. Like, she had to take the words from Colton and then relay it directly back onto the situation. I had high expectations for her. I think I put her in my final four at the very beginning when I didn't know anything about her. And right now, she needs to absolutely grab some bench. Maybe just sit at the end, talk to some of the assistant coaches, go over a couple plays, just because she's completely unprepared for this moment right now.
Theory time. Colton's over her. Colton doesn't want her on the show. At this point, he would have sent her home. She is too valuable to the producers. The reason she gets the last rose many, many times in the seasons in the past, you realize the person who gets the last rose is one of two people. It's either the villain that you're like, they shouldn't be here anymore because they're not even here to win. They're just here to either be a comedian or ruin people's lives in the house. Or someone with recent drama that you're like, there's just no way they're going to survive. There's no way they're going to survive. Let's zoom in on them during the rose ceremony. Boom, get a rose.
Right.
It's because they want people to come back next week. I don't think Colton wants her there anymore. Eventually, he's going to say, guys, I can't do this anymore. Let me send her home. And I don't know when that's going to happen. But
Do you think that that was even a thought of his? Do you think he wanted to send her home during the one-on-one?
I do. He looks so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And the producer said, no, we need the storyline to play out. Eventually, we'll get him on a two-on-one, which is one of our prop bets from last week. And then you can send Hannah home and leave her on this deserted island.
Look, if you're going to have such a quick trigger on sending Kaylin home, how does Hannah B get so much slack?
And kudos to Kaylin. Like, even though she probably didn't say what he wanted to hear, she was honest. She just said, I kind of want someone to go and have fun with and hang with my friends. Like,
she's like, my life's pretty good. I don't know. Like, right. I don't have a sob story to tell you.
Exactly. And she even talked about that after she got eliminated, too. Like, it was very real. Maybe not what he was looking for, but at least she was honest about it. So, Hannah B, sad to say that this story has taken a bit of a turn for the worse. And Roll Damn Tide is unfortunately rolling off the tracks. All right, it is time for our film session. This is the part of the show where we take a minute or so and go over something that probably needs to be discussed a little bit more that most viewers did not get a chance to dive into. So, Andrew, what are you turning on the film session for today?
Okay, I've been waiting for this. The Caitlin moving the limo scene when no one thought anyone could move the limo during the group date. And multiple girls tried and it didn't move an inch. And all of a sudden, Caitlin gets there and she brings it all the way down the tracks. And everyone's freaking out that she pulled the limo. I gotta tell you, go back and look at it, folks. It's fraudulent. It's fake.
Conspiracy.
It wasn't real. It's so obvious. It's not even a conspiracy. It was fake because of three reasons. One, the camera cut multiple times. We didn't see her pull the whole time. That's a red flag of questions, right? Two, and this one is like so obvious. If you watch the first girl who was trying to pull, was it Heather who tried first?
No, it was, I think it was Tayshia.
Okay. Tayshia. If you have the show on DVR, pull it up. You will see a man sitting in the driver's seat. There's a quick second you see a man sitting in the driver's seat. And three, when Caitlin's pulling it, there is slack on the chains as she's moving. Therefore, the car has to be forward in motion. That is physics. It was fraudulent. I'm calling it out. It was fake.
Well, so even if it was fake, I don't know whether that would take away from my part of the film session because it focused on pretty much the same thing except for the surroundings around it. I don't know if you remember, but in the beginning of this, Chris Harrison sets it up as part of his broadcast, this fake play-by-play and color commentary team with Fred Willard saying, here comes the part of the show that might be the worst idea our producers ever came up with. It's the limo pull. And he goes, hey, Fred, I'll give you 1,000-to-1 odds that none of the girls are able to pull the limo. And Fred, immediately, not even realizing what the stakes were just placed in front of him, said, yeah, I'm not taking that bet. If it's 1,000-to-1 on a show where you know that there's going to be some things and some producers pulling a couple strings here and there, man, if Fred Willard would have just put $5, $10. You know, he's a successful Hollywood actor and comedy icon. What if he put $100 down? 1,000-to-1 odds, and he blew it. He could have taken Chris Harrison to the woodshed. He could have taken him for all that he's worth. He could have been the new host of The Bachelor if he wanted to, because Chris Harrison would have been in so much debt from this bet that he would have had nothing else but to sell him the opportunity to host that job so he can hang on to whatever money he has left in the bank. Fred Willard blew it on this opportunity. If there is any bet that is 1,000-to-1 odds, I'm at least listening before I make my decision. He did not consider the option and therefore cost himself a boatload of cash. Shame on you, Fred Willard. You had an opportunity to cash in and you, my friend, blew it.
Sounds like he could have been your bench warmer too.
That's probably true. I don't know. I didn't know that we could put anybody on the bench that wasn't a contestant. I suppose we could. But then he's just not coming back. Now you're putting him on waivers. Fred Willard isn't going to be a recurring theme of the show.
That's true. No, that's true. Who did we put real quick, and we'll get out of here soon, but who did we put on the bench last week? Let's see if they got back in the game or not. I'm kind of interested.
That's a really good question. So your bench warmer last week, actually, we both had the same bench warmer last week. She didn't do anything to hurt herself.
Oh, Tracy.
It was Tracy. There might have been a little bit of moments with her and Demi, but not to the point where it got anybody interested again.
I liken it to maybe she's not on the bench anymore, but she's that little league kid who's not overly athletic and has to play right field and has to play the minimum 3 innings. So I think right now Tracy moved from the bench to right field. That's where she's at right now.
All right, so before we get out of here, leading into episode number 4, and again, by the way, for those of you guys that are listening, normally, yes, the show comes out either Tuesday night or in this case, Wednesday. It sort of depends on the schedule of things, whether or not we're trying to book any guests. If we do have any contestants on, they'll just be typically separate episodes, so just make sure that you guys are subscribed. Make sure that you guys are following us on Twitter, at @Andrew_Carter, and at Benny Heiss for alerts on when these episodes will drop. And of course, we'll share them. You can screenshot them. And by the way, kudos to anybody who's able to share them as part of their Instagram story or feed, helping us spread the word about this show. But as we get to our prop bets for week number 4, let's visit any of them that may have hit for last week. The only one that we can really make a full-formed decision on is that only one toast was formed last week. We set the over-under at 2.5. We thought it was going to be a clear over, but only one toast. So that was a little bit surprising for me.
That was very surprising for me. I was very disappointed in that because I thought the over would hit within halfway through the episode.
Yeah,
but
you were willing to throw down a few units on that over, too.
I know. And I guess I couldn't predict that Kaylin and Hannah would take over the show. So yeah. That's what happened. That's where we went wrong. There wasn't enough happiness, too much sadness.
I will say this, that if that prop were to come out again, because that's a prop that you can use pretty much every week, I do think next week it's more likely to hit.
Absolutely, because now they're going to say, oh, we kind of messed with people this week. It was really about drama. Let's go back. Let's show some fun things. There's a good chance there's some toast next week.
Right. The other ones that we set up last week, who are the most likely contestants to have the two-on-one date, we'll still wait on that. Also, my favorite prop of the show so far, who will be Heather's first kiss, that's still TBD. But based on her friendship now with Hannah B., I have made her a separate side bet. Along with the field, she can be a part of that at plus 900. But if it's Hannah B. specifically, if you want to just bet on her being the first kiss, that is now at plus 1500. So you could win 1500 on a $100 bet for that one.
I love it.
All right, so prop bet number one. After Hannah B. and Demi, who is most likely to become the next villain? I set Kaylin at 2-1 because I think there's still a chance that we are learning about her potential story and whether or not Hannah B. has any validity to her claims. So I put her at the pretty high odds at 2-1. Anyeka at 5-1, just because she's somebody sort of in that Demi mode. She kind of says and does whatever she wants and is comfortable enough to be able to do it. I think Sydney has a chance to rub some people the wrong way. You already saw it with Cassie when she said that Colton's not a stretching virgin anymore. And then I have the field at 2-1. So where do you think you might be leaning here?
Gosh, this is tough for me because I think I'd go with the field. I don't feel confident about any of those options, mainly because I think Demi is going to hold on to that throne for a while. And maybe when Demi's gone, we're at the point in the game where it's just serious contenders left and we don't need a villain. So for this reason, and I'm with you, it's very possible the torch gets passed and Kaylin's a great option. And I like the other options, but I think I'm just going to go with the field on this because I feel comfortable in the fact that it might not get to that point.
I think there's still a chance with Anyeka. I like her odds at 5-1. I said from the beginning episode that we did together that I think she has a chance to be a villain, maybe in a different way than Demi and Hannah B., but I think that's still in consideration. So I might roll the dice a little bit. The field obviously is the safer bet, and I completely understand your perspective there. Prop number two. This is a theme throughout the course of this show. How many words will Demi have bleeped out during the next episode? I think it probably hit about 4 or 5, but I set it at 2.5. For next week, and I would imagine that if you expect her to have some one-on-one time, that number would probably go up. But do you think 2.5 is the right number here?
It's a great number because I think it's either 2 or 3. So you're right in that go zone. I think I'm gonna go under. I think we're gonna see someone go on a date that gets a lot of screen time outside of Demi next week. For that reason, I'm gonna go under. I feel like 2 is probably right, so I'll go under 2.5.
Okay, I think that's probably the way to play it as well. Although you hate to play the under in any situation.
So true.
Final one, how many total cries will we see in the next episode? This is the prop that you and I came up with, and we set it at 3.5 together. This is the first international trip, and I think that's when some of the emotions start to really come out, I believe. So 3.5, you think it's too many or too little?
I think it's too little. Like you said, international jet lag, not feeling like yourself, a lot of drama, girls are starting to get stressed, they're breaking out a little bit, have to wear some extra makeup, maybe they've gained a few pounds because they're just sitting in the house and they're eating and drinking and emotions are high and there's still drama going on, and I just think there's going to be over 3.5 cries because I think there's a chance we see Colton cry. It's coming. It's coming, folks. He's starting to fracture a little bit with this feud, and he's getting tested, and we know from the preview that there's times that he either cries or ultimately just runs away. So for that reason, I like the over on 3.5.
Like the over as well, and I hope for the sake of this show and that show that Colton is the one that puts it over the top and makes it 4, and our bet will hit. So if that's the way that it goes down, then I think it is a perfect setup for next week's episode of not only The Bachelor, but also this podcast you play to win the rose. Anything else before we head on out of here, bud?
I don't think so. It was another great episode. I'm excited that we've gotten some traction, and it sounds like we're going to have some of the contestants that were on the show this year on our podcast. So just look out for that. Hit subscribe, and let's keep the fun train rolling.
Like Andrew said, it's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Casts. I think I said that again. I think it's coming on Overcast. If you go to where we post the show, which is on our anchor page, it will link you to 9 different places that you can subscribe. It is all right there. But the easiest place to do it is over on Apple Podcasts. And if you do listen and download, please give us a rating and a review. It would mean the world to us, and we'll shout you out on the show for doing so as well. And don't forget, you can tweet us at Andrew_Carter, at Benny Heiss, if you have any prop bets that you would like featured in next week's episode. So, for Andrew, I'm Ben. Thank you guys for listening. This is You Play to Win the Rose. We will be back next week.
Peace.